Well, as Joel actually noted with the Sunday school class, it might have been a whole lot easier if those wise men had had GPS, right? I mean, for one thing, they wouldn't have had to stop off near King Herod's place, alerting that insecure, murderous despot called King of the Jews to the birth of a rival king. But no, all they had was a star. Or maybe we've since learned a rare convergence of Saturn and Jupiter. Sure, they were professional stargazers trained in reading signs, discerning their meaning, but still, just think of it. A special star appeared in the sky, especially bright, perhaps, or especially large. The star appeared beckoning them somehow, and they followed it. Really? I mean, there they were in Persia, perhaps, modern day Iran, somewhere far east of Jerusalem, anyway. They were not Jews. Yet, they see a star. And after possibly a flurry of texting and some hastily scheduled consultation Zooms, they decide to drop everything and follow the star. Who were these magi, translated in our Bible, wise men? Who were these guys from the East who appear out of the blue in Matthew's story and disappear soon after, just as quickly? Now, though the song Marcel just sang so beautifully is about three kings of the Orient, Matthew never actually says there were three, or that they were kings for that matter, only that between them they brought those three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There could have been a whole convoy of wise men and their families. And they certainly didn't arrive on Christmas Eve with a king from the East, remember? Whether from Iraq or Iran, elsewhere in the Arabian Peninsula, or even India, Africa, they were at least a 4-month journey from Jerusalem. A long, arduous journey on camelback. Now, Matthew says that Herod secretly met with the wise men to find out the exact date when the star had appeared, and then, though this is getting ahead of our story, when the Magi didn't return to Herod to let him know exactly where the child was, Herod went on a rampage, decreeing that all baby boys 2 and under were to be killed. 2 and under. Herod was nothing if not thorough in his murderous intent, his own sick version of no child left behind. So, it wasn't right after the birth that the Magi appeared, but probably at least 4 months after, maybe as much as 2 years after. It seems that according to Matthew, at least, Joseph and his little family had settled down in Bethlehem for a while. But back to our wise men. That star appearing, it seems, at or around the time of Jesus' birth led them westward. Their astrological studies informed them that the star they observed was his star, that of a child who had been born king of the Jews. But though it led them west, it wasn't very specific in its guidance. No, if you pass the third shepherd on the left, you've gone too far. And so they go to Jerusalem, the center of power, to learn more. Their star-like positioning system has faltered, but they persevere. They've come this far, after all. Now, when King Herod hears about this new king, he's frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Though probably that all means the power brokers and the big shots, those who had something to lose if a new king came to power. Apparently, they hadn't yet heard of this newborn king, hadn't seen a star as the Magi did, hadn't heard heavenly choirs or angelic announcement as the shepherds did. Or maybe they did. But since it didn't bode well for them, they dismissed it as fake news. So Herod calls together his tame priests and scribes and assigns them some Bible study to learn where the Messiah was to be born. Now, I probably have had to do a Google search, but these folks know their scripture cold. So they quote Micah 5, which says, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." We can imagine why that made Herod fearful, just as we can picture that crafty king rubbing his hands together, thinking kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West, "Ah, Bethlehem, now I've got you." He enlists the Magi as spies, or tries to, saying, "Go search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Yeah, that's right, homage. And off to Bethlehem, the wise ones went, the star reappearing to guide them right to the place where Jesus was. And they were beside themselves with joy, which is surprising because, again, they weren't Jews. They hadn't spent their whole lives awaiting a Jewish Messiah. Why were they overwhelmed with joy when the religious elite back in Jerusalem had been filled with fear? They followed a star, these Magi, a mysterious, inviting, compelling star that had lured them from home and safety across unknown terrain into the very heart of political power and on to the little town of Bethlehem, to a humble dwelling and a little boy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king, laid before a small infant, or maybe a laughing toddler. But they offered him something more than those expensive luxury items, don't you think? Something even more precious. Gentiles, others though they were, foreigners, practitioners of the arts and sciences of mathematics and astronomy and medicine, but also what we would call occult superstition, astrology, stargazing. And yet, they followed a star that promised to lead them to the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the anointed one of the God of Israel. And they came and laid at his tiny feet their gifts of weeks of preparation and months of arduous travel, of a tricky encounter with a tyrannical ruler and his minions. They laid before him their perseverance, their determination, their amazement, their curiosity, their hope, their reverence, their deep, deep joy, their very lives. They worshiped him, that is. And then they left, having been utterly transformed by their encounter with this newborn king. How do we know that? After all, they drop out of sight, never to be heard from again. But first, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Dreams, stars, how attentive they are, these pagan visitors from the East, to the ways God might be speaking to them. Of course, they returned home by another road. Yes, to avoid another encounter with Herod, to avoid revealing the whereabouts of that defenseless king. But I wonder, having experienced what they had, having known such overwhelming joy, how could they go back the way they came, back to the known pathway, even if not doing so meant more uncertainty, more hardship, even if it meant the possibility of feeling lost? Now, though technically it's not till Wednesday today, we're celebrating Epiphany, which simply means revelation, revealing. It's the official end of the 12-day Christmas season, when the church commemorates the visit of the wise ones, those Gentiles who came to worship the Christ, foreshadowing the time when all the nations shall come to his light and kings to the brightness of his dawn, as Isaiah says. But might we also take the opportunity to celebrate our own epiphanies, our own revelations, our own surprising transformations. It was fear, in a sense, or at least caution, that made the wise men chart a new route homeward. A revelation of great joy, followed by a revelation of reversal of fortune, a possible danger. Sounds kind of like last year, doesn't it? When 2020 began so hopefully, only to lead quickly into a deathly pandemic to confront us with death-dealing racism. But even our reversals, our disappointments, our fears can reveal an opportunity. Like the star-struck Magi, like Paul struck speechless and blind on the road to Damascus, like Peter awestruck on the mountaintop with Jesus, and Mary Magdalene in the garden. We who have encountered the living God in Christ are forever changed, if we let ourselves be. And let's face it, it's not only the sort of universal events of 2020. Sooner or later, we all find ourselves on roads we never expected, perhaps never even wanted to be on, following new directions we'd never have chosen for ourselves. Things change, whether we like it or not. Our employment status, our health, our relationships, our church. Things have changed. And we are challenged or invited to take another road. A road that might be difficult or dangerous or leave us feeling lost. Except that God is with us. Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, our hope, our love, our joy. To what unexpected opportunities might we be led? Opportunities for mission and service and purpose and joy. GPS might have been helpful to those Magi, but I think the star was better. And in honor of the Star of Bethlehem and the Day of Epiphany, I'm going to send you, all of you, in the mail, a star on which you'll find a word. And I encourage you throughout this year to consider how God might be speaking to you through the word on your star. Keep your star somewhere where you'll see it every day, and keep your word in mind as you pray and as you go about your daily business. Ponder its meaning for your life. What Bible stories or verses does it call up for you? Where might your star lead you? Whom might you encounter there? How might you be transformed? You know, I apologize. As for weeks, I refuse to accept that there is an apparent star shortage out there. I think half the churches in the world are doing Star Wars this year, Star Words this year, rather. And anyway, because though I know that there are pastors who actually hand cut their own stars, I am not one of them. But I finally tracked down some stars set to arrive on the 12th day of Christmas, as a matter of fact, and I'll get them to you as soon as I can. But you know, maybe it's better to have your star show up unexpectedly. And maybe in this new year, we can find opportunities to share our experiences of reflecting on our star words as we ponder the mission of this church and our own callings in life. Meanwhile, may you be led to surprising places and extraordinary endeavors. May the Christ child accompany you, and may you find your deepest joy. Happy stargazing, my friends, and to God alone be the glory. Amen.